Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and I'm very happy to be here with a good friend, Lihi Entrop, and she's a psychotherapist. And we're going to be talking today about evolution of consciousness, really, is a subject I'm very excited about. And Lihi here has been a student of different types of therapy, different types of ways of understanding consciousness. So thanks for being a guest tonight, Lihi.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So what I'm interested in knowing from you, you work with a lot of different people, but how do you integrate? There's a spiritual revolution happening. There's a spiritual understanding. So we have psychology, and then how is the spirit, as you see it, and also the love integrated into your therapy? You know, how do you... Because for a long time, psychotherapy, psychology hasn't been about love. It hasn't been about feeling the person. But somehow, I think in your work, you tune into people and you're more than therapizing them. You're feeling into their consciousness.
Absolutely, very, very well said. When I meet with someone, I see them. I see them on the outside. I see them physically. I see them emotionally. I see them spiritually, and it's like an art. So when I see somebody, I kind of see their emotional system, and how they present themselves. I see what they're capable, where they are in their evolutionary process. It's not a thinking process. It's just it's something that just comes to me. So when I'm meeting with a client, they may come with me with whatever it is that they're coming, what they're coming with me, let's say a relationship issue or depression or anxiety or a death, whatever it may be. I somehow see behind the scenes. So I'm seeing what they're coming to me and what they're being called for. So what it is that I really work with my clients, I work with where they are emotionally. So I work with them on that vibration or that level of the level of development that they're at in the emotional state.
So someone's coming to you for some kind of problem, maybe it's a relationship, or maybe they're just not feeling together emotionally or secure. What are you seeing, and where are you trying to bring them? How do you like work with someone from where they're at? So yeah, I'm curious about that.
When I'm meeting them, mm-hmm. It's not really to describe or really to explain, but everybody that comes to me is every human being is really their core craving is love. So they may know it, they may not know it, it may be subconscious, it may be it may be blocked, it may be separated, they may have anger, they may have hatred, they may have jealousy, all these different things. But really what I'm seeing is that they're coming to really be met. To really, really, truly be met. It's challenging at times. You know what I mean? You almost have to be a. It's like I find myself being. I can call it an instrument of love. You know, in many ways. I just see that I see their beauty. I see their love. I see their essence. You know, and yet I see their blocks, or I see their challenges.
I think that's a really evolved place to look at people. So. You know, most therapists would see their problems, but you see sort of like who they really are.
I'm transcending. I mean, if you want to give it a label, if you want to give it some kind of description, it's basically seeing them in their egoic structure where they are. I don't stay in that state, but yet because of my, I don't know if you want to call it my training, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, but I know people with where they are, you know, in their egoic structure, which is where a lot of psychotherapists or people in this field kind of stay in that framework. And it's important to not just, it's important to really acknowledge that space and that place and where they're coming from. But at the same time, it's not that, I see I see beyond all that, where the traditional psychotherapist, not everybody, it's kind of shifting and changing.
It's really important because in a way you're changing psychotherapy. You're bringing in the spiritual element. And also, in a way, it's nothing you can actually study or train for. You sort of brought your own understanding of spirit in, or of you, or this, or the, not just the egoic self, but the true self. And I'm getting a sense of that's what you see in people. You're seeing the ego sense and their insecurities, but you're also seeing their, who they really are. And it's like, you can't
I'm seeing their potential without the, I'm seeing their potential where which is really their love, because then if their potential really is for them to really bring it over here and to kind of create their own experience. I'm the observer of the therapeutic process. So it's not I become their witness, but yet I become their visionary, and I build on that. You know. And I move with them, and I can stay with them in their anger. I can stay with them in their guilt. I can stay with them in their shame. And yet I see the total unlimited space. I try to work with them in that way, in a sense, for them to actually see it in themselves. It's not for me to actually overshadow them.
I see. So when they see it in themselves, what is exactly that they looking to see in themselves? What is it that what would you want them to see in themselves that will help them deal with their situation? What do you mean?
The purity of their own love. You know, that's the purity of their own love, the purity of their own fulfillment. I want them to see their joy. It's hard to really pinpoint in words, but it's when I see what I want them to see is the beauty and the source and the love and why they're actually here. Why are they actually on this plane? And why are they born? Why? It's a discovery. I want them to discover themselves. I want them to see the mystery in themselves and everything else.
And so it sort of makes it exciting for you because you're also discovering them as well. You're seeing the mystery, but you're helping them discover. So your therapy is sort of a mission of discovery that both of you are taking together.
Exactly. It's always a reflection. I always see it as such a gift and such an opportunity. Anybody that comes in my into my reality, whether it's therapy, whether it's outside of therapy, whether it's family, whether it's people that I don't get along with, it's always a beautiful, beautiful opportunity and always a chance to really see everything in the landscape of what is here. So when they come to me, I have such a love for them. I don't even know the love that I have for them, but there's something that propels me. It's not an intellectualized thing. I have them, you know, I basically have them work, you know, I actually have them see and also give them give my clients a knowledge base. It's their own knowing, you know what I mean? It's almost I want them to actually tune into their own knowing. So I almost look at all the emotional stuff, the anger, the shame, the guilt, the fears as something that's not really who they are.
Right. Yeah, it sounds, no, I get that. And it sounds really beautiful the way you're describing it. So it's like you don't have any judgment about them. You hold them in a, your ego's not attached. You're just holding them in a space of being where they can be themselves and feel themselves. So when you're witnessed like that, it does make it easier for people to deal with their own stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And they actually start shedding all those layers.
They shed it, and so it's a process that of uncovering.
It's a dance, actually. It's actually a dance.
You love them, and then they gives them the chance to.
I love them. I say I love them, or you say I love them. It's not that I love them in a personal way.
No, it's not personal. You just love their being, right?
Right.
I mean, how did you learn? How did you know that? I'm sure it's nothing you learned in school, that approach. How did you figure it out?
I've always had it inside of me since I was little, In fact, I would see people, and I would just feel so much love with them. I would just feel so much love for these people. And I would see everybody, and I would feel everything is such a game over here. When I was younger, I would feel everything is such a game. So if let's say when I was 16 years old, and all of a sudden men started to like, you know, be attracted to me, I didn't really know how to respond to all that. So I would be like, oh, and they would, I didn't really get the whole idea of people being attracted to me or.
You didn't know what that was about?
I really didn't know what that was about.
Okay.
It was a taught thing. It was a program thing. Oh yeah, okay, you look good, you look attractive. Okay, that's why people like you. But I didn't understand. I didn't get it. You know, I don't know. It was a little bit off. And then I kind of so they would all of a sudden, you know, all these boys were attracted to me, and I started playing that role. I started creating, and it became a whole thing. It became a program. Mm-hmm. But yet, when it became a program, I would see everybody, the boys, even girls, everybody. I would just see this love. I'd be like, I just love you. But it would be mixed up with all this sexuality, which was not really integrated or not really grounded.
Well, you know, I think you're talking about a very pure place that a lot of people have, but then a lot of people do mix it up with ego or insecurity or sex, and they forget that they actually are seeing lots of times that person from a pure place. Somehow you remembered it. Somehow you're able to bring that back into your awareness and transcend the physiological attraction and all that, and you were able to tap into that purity. I think I'm getting that's beautiful. That's a very beautiful approach to life. How were you able to overcome that role, though, and that programming, the sexual programming, and the thing that culture, society wants us to do? How did you personally deal with that part?
Well, I'm still overcoming it.
No, I know you're still, but you have overcome it in your work. You've overcame it in your work. You've have overcome the part of that can see that purity.
Yeah, because I could see everything that's in the personality or it's in the self. I could see things that are conditioned. I could see things that are programmed. All that I could experience it. I could feel it. I just know it. So but yet it's real because that's what they're living. Mm-hmm. But yet I could see that it's not fulfilling. Yet I could see that they're unsatisfied. Yet I could see that it's a stuck situation. I could see it. All that it can go on for years and years and years and it just doesn't change. So what I see is, again, I see their pure state of being. Mm-hmm. And I stay in that pure state of being with them, no matter what, they reflect to that. You know, it's like a stance that I take. So then all of a sudden it's like, wow.
Well, satisfaction, right?
No, it gives me satisfaction. That's without saying, but it's just that they start to get it. It's a transmission. It's an actual transmission.
I get what you're saying. So you're holding that space of love and purity, and they're feeling like it's okay to just be themselves. It's okay to feel what they're feeling because you're not judging them. You're witnessing them, and I get the transmission part. That's beautiful. I think it's a whole other evolution to psychotherapy. So you're not necessarily looking at someone's problems.
And I am looking at their issues. I am looking at what they're bringing in. I don't dismiss it. I don't neglect it. I don't disregard it because that's exactly what they're experiencing at that point in time. I have them see it from a new address, from another place, from their source, from another. They start to see whatever that they're experiencing is like there's such a bigger menu from where they're seeing it from, or a bigger picture. So, and that's the place of love. That's the place of source. That's the place of outside of here. You know what I mean? Out beyond themselves. they're able to actually go from where they're coming from, such a dense place, and it's in a certain framework. When that framework doesn't work anymore, so it's about going outside that framework, and then the problems kind of it's like having a room and wanted to change. You're just changing the furniture, but you're really not changing anything much. You know, it's about going really, really beyond that, and that happens in the actual in their actual mind.
So, but I'm interested in like how you achieve that. I mean, I know a little bit about your background. I know some, but I want to know how you feel you've changed in your work as a psychotherapist, because this is something, in a way, you came to, and you've done a lot of spiritual practice. So you started off, you know, you got your master's in psychotherapy, and you're probably trained sort of traditionally. I mean, but then you started to become aware through your own personal experience.
I mean, I'll tell you something. I mean, when I started going to school, you know, I was really I didn't even know what emotion, I didn't know what I was feeling. I didn't know what I was experiencing. When I was interning, I would have to write these certain reports and say, what were you experiencing as you're talking to the, you know, to the patient. And I would just know how to say, he said, she said. I wouldn't know what I was actually
feeling, what emotion. You didn't know?
No, I didn't. But I knew I was uncomfortable. I could say I was anxious, but I didn't even know how to even put those words. I'm like shocked that I kept going with this and get going with this. But I had such a curiosity, such a curiosity about human beings and how they function and how and what makes them tick. It was really like, wow, you know, and yet I couldn't really. I really couldn't be there. It was almost like I was a fraud. I almost came from a place of like not having the egoic structure in a sense, not having all of the emotions. And yet it was almost like an Asperger's kind of thing.
You were disconnected from your own feelings, you're saying.
My own experiences, my own feelings, my own experiences.
But maybe,
and yet I saw everything. I mean, I remember being at a very young age, not being able to really look at people or not really be able to really look into their eyes. And it would be almost like I was outside looking in. But yet I was so curious and I was so interested and I was so just the whole understanding of all this was just so propelling to me. So I went with it. I mean, I could say this in retrospect.
But that's great. That's what drove you. That lack, in a sense, it sounds like, is what propelled you for understanding.
Yeah, and it would be like, what? Ooh, you know. I mean, it's really miraculous at this point in time that I can actually now experience. It's like I could experience the emotional, it's almost like I could experience the human drama or the human experience. Now I can actually experience it. I could actually know it. I could actually, you know, it's almost like I came outside of it and I came into this body, but I didn't really, you know, my upbringing was really not about being tuned into, and most of us are not in that.
What was that moment of breakthrough? There must have been lack that drove you, and you knew there was something more. You knew there was, there had to be this thing that people were feeling and the emotions, but there must have been a point where you got it or you got a glimpse of it. What was that? There was probably a moment where you got that understanding of emotional reality.
I got it from the out, you know, I got it backwards. Like usually you have anger, you have jealousy, you have all those things first. I got it like, I always felt love for people. You know what I mean? I didn't know how to describe it in the past. I would always feel this love, and the love was really, now when I think about it going back, it was always an unconditional love. But yet I would feel like I'm trapped. I felt such love, but everybody's like, you know, my family, everybody's. I would feel everybody's needs. I would feel everybody's expectations. I would feel everybody's what it is that, you know, and I would just try to like fit into, I would just try to satisfy their needs and their expectations. So by doing all that, I really didn't know what exactly was happening within myself. But what changed? And it's interesting that you're asking me that question. What changed is it was a personal love. It was actually a personal love that I got involved with. And again, I didn't feel anything emotionally. I didn't know what emotions were. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like bizarre, but you know, I knew I felt uncomfortable. I knew I felt, you know, there was different things, but I didn't have this whole, I didn't have labels to it. There was no label. All I knew is that you just kind of go day by day and you function. You know, I think I explained one time to somebody that I when I was growing up, I said, what is all this? I would go to school. I was like 7, 8 years old. And I'd be like, what is all this? You could get up again and go to school and do whatever. And it just seemed so, I don't even know what it was, so routine based and so like unfulfilling. And I remember it was so like, ugh, I have to do this again and again. It was really, and I remember the only time I used to get pleasure, like, you know, like I would try to find some kind of fulfillment, and I go into the shower and I'd be like, oh my God, this feels so good. I have the hot water on me. Oh, this is like the moment that I have, you know, with myself, or I'm just experiencing this. And really what I was experiencing was mindfulness at that point. You know what I mean? It was really like, you know what I mean? I just kind of was staying in the moment, experiencing what I was experiencing, and just dealt with that, whatever I had to deal with.
I'm talking to Lihi Bentrop, who's a psychotherapist who has a very interesting approach to her work. It's unusual because you don't come from a judgmental, personal way, but you were talking about how you actually transform from not even being able to feel into awakening to that. Because in a sense, that's what you're trying to show people. You go, it's like a three-pronged process. You go from the unfeeling to the feeling to the transcendence of that. But you were talking about how did you go from that place of not feeling the emotion, not connecting with them, to a place of connecting with them in your process? I'm curious.
Okay. I was almost acting as if I was a robot in my life growing up. When I look back at it, I was behaving in a way that this is what I need to do. And I kind of, you know, I was like, okay, I didn't want to rock the boat. So I would just kind of be with whatever, you know, my mother wanted me to be, this, that, and the other. I was really playing a character or a role, but it was really at a big expense, you know, it was really at an expense on myself. But I knew somewhere, and now when I look back at it, I knew there was something more. I never stopped. I never, like I told you, I never really grew up Jewish, and it's not that I really ever believed it. I didn't even know. It didn't resonate with me, this whole thing, going to temple and came from a conservative background and kosher, but not... I didn't even care. It was just nothing that really, really resonated in me. And I adhere to all this. Just did whatever I needed to do. But then
it was
one
automatic.
Day,
automatic. You felt like you were just automatic. You didn't.
I was an automatic thing.
No one talked about feelings and emotions and how people
nothing.
Felt.
When I would go to sleep, I would wonder, what is this life? You know, at the age of two, I would wonder what this life is about. So it was always a curiosity, as like, what does this all mean? Even at the age of two, I remember thinking this. I remember going to sleep at the age of 5 or 6 and I would, or 7, and I would go to sleep and I'd say, like, because I guess I said, what is this whole thing about being here and death? And I guess there was a part of me that feared death, and I said, what are the chances of me dying tonight? I remember I would go to sleep and I'd say, there were 20 kids in my classroom or 22 kids in my classroom. What are the chances that I'm going to die and there's going to be 21 kids, you know? I would, you know, would start kind of thoughts that I would have, where I would leave a classroom and I would walk away from it. And I would say, I wonder if that classroom is still there, even though I'm not there. So I would always think in other ways.
You were deep. You were a deep child in a way. But when did you wake up to this idea of feeling and being in touch with your feelings? What was that like process?
Well, it was probably in the relationship, because everything was always programmed. I used to go out. I used to party. I used to do everything, and I knew how to do it so well. You know what I mean? I kind of knew how to work the program, and I knew how to have people respond to me. I knew how to respond to them. But with the responding to them, even though it was a program, I would always still feel an underlying, like, I would see the essence in everybody. You know what I mean? It would be sloppy at times because I would kind of have it with non-feelings or my own insecurities or my own understanding of where I am right at that point or what's expected of me, all these different things. I was dating. Everything was just
going through the motions, and you weren't feeling anything.
No, but I would feel. I mean, I would feel my heart, but I wouldn't know how to really be here with my heart. You know what I mean? It was really, now that you're, you know, it was really odd. It was really an odd experience. I knew how to be a character, yet I was a character. I was a character. And I knew it was a limited character, you know, but that's what I was. I would have no problem meeting men. All these men would be around. Men would adore me. Men would, you know, and I would see such beauty in these men, and I would feel guilty for not liking them or for not even, like, you know, wanting to even move in any way.
You didn't want to get romantic, but you saw their beauty and you saw their love, but...
I saw their beauty. I saw their love. I saw their what they saw in me. But I saw it as such a limited place. There was a piece of me that saw it. I saw them. You know, people would ask me to get married and everything, and I'd be like, how could they want to get married to me when they only know like 2% of me? You know, it would be like, what? You know,
they were looking at you superficially in that sense.
No, but the 2%, I kind of bowed down to them for that 2%. I was like, wow, how gorgeous that they're loving me for this, you know. But yet it was like 98% of me was still not, was flying around. Really, when I really think about it, you know, when what happened is that I just met this one man that I couldn't negotiate all that. I couldn't control it. I couldn't negotiate it. I couldn't maneuver it.
It was bigger than your personality.
Than my personality. And how did that shift you?
So
I wanted to use my personality, and I did. How it shifted me is it kind of brought me to a place of when we would interact, you couldn't even be your personality because you felt that you were just, it was just such a... you were totally exposed. You were totally, everything was just kind of out in the open.
You were connecting on a soul level. There was some, because I've heard you say, talk about this a little bit. You were connecting on a level that didn't involve the person, or it wasn't really about the person.
I was connecting in a completely soul level that was nothing to do with Leahy, and it had nothing to do with this identity, it was just like, well, what do I do with this, you know? And so I would feel such love, and he was going through the same thing. It's not only me, you know, and we weren't mature enough to really connect, to talk about it, but the talking would also not even, we didn't talk about it, put it that way. And so it was like being in the most highest spiritual space and yet being in the most immature space of like.
All the stuff that didn't seem so important. Everything came up for you.
Everything came up 100-fold. You know, nobody ever did that to me. You know what I mean? And I could say it in words now, but I couldn't say it there. How can you be with someone that is bringing up all this stuff? You could say the hell with you, but yet you couldn't even leave that because you were just feeling such, you know, there was something that was so propelling and so magnetic and so pure. And so I that's really what changed everything for me. You know what I mean? Because it was almost, I had to acknowledge whatever I could always control. I was always able to control everything with every situation and every relationship and every connection. And I have to really go deeper into what was propelling inside of me until this particular man that came along. I kind of noticed that, oh, you know, I would leave this guy because I would be like, oh, he's not, you know, I would know, you know, he's not being, all these men would like, you know, bow down to me. They would do everything for me. Not that he wouldn't, but it was just, didn't feel like I was being acknowledged the way that, you know.
You mean you're talking about the personality and feel the acknowledgement.
I didn't feel, right, in the personality. Meanwhile, this person I felt was more 98% with me, where these other guys were 2% with me. But yet the 2% were in this reality, it seemed that they were definitely more adherent to me. On the visual level or on the physical level, it seemed that they were more there for me. But meanwhile, I knew this man was more there for me, even though it didn't appear that way, you know.
Right.
So that kind of made me look inward. It made me look inward and made me see everything. This is a long, long process. And I started to feel when I would get away from him, you know, I'd be like, oh, then I would feel anxiety. Then I started to notice anxiety. I'd be like, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm experiencing here. I would notice my anxiety. I would notice
anxiety
my,
because you were away from him? Or
I would
you
notice my, I would notice my anxiety. I would notice my my guilt, I would notice my shame, I would notice all these different things started coming into play that I couldn't run away from anymore. I needed to identify it at that point, quite frankly.
So he woke you up. That was not him, but the situation was an awakening to something bigger.
Yeah, because it was something else that was never here before. It was something that came from outside of here. I mean, I've had great relationships before this guy.
Right.
There were relationships.
But there was something different because it was a soul level. It was a soul connection.
It was a soul connection, and that's what actually made me see outside of me and inside of me. You know,
So how did that change your work? Because you were a therapist even before, and then so. It must have totally changed the way you looked and were with people. I'm curious about that.
Totally, because then I saw people. I saw where it was a knowing what I experienced with this particular man. It was a knowing.
A knowing, like you had the knowing as a child about knowing what love was, and then you cover it up with being automatic, and then you had this thing, and that knowing, that feeling of that pure connection was a knowing that reminded you of what knowing was.
It reminded me of what real truth is. It reminded me of what real unconditional love is. I learned unconditional love, and because I learned unconditional love, it's not even learned. It got rekindled in me. It was just like, oh, wow, you can love somebody despite, you know, what happens in a lot of people that come to me in relationships, they hold on to the old relationships that they've been hurt from, or they've been, they hold on to the hate and to the anger and to the this. Every relationship, there's a connection of love. Any relationship you have, there, I see it as there's something that's drawing you to that relationship. And there is love. There's the purity of love, and there's the impurity of love. And it's not even an impurity of love. I don't even like to look at it that way, but it's the way the mind is conditioned or programmed to think.
I understand what you're saying. This woke you up to the purity of love, but how did that change your work with people?
Yeah, because I see now beyond with what they're saying and what's actually happening in their reality and what's actually happening in their life, and what they experience with, you know, what they experience in relationships is what they carry, that they weren't good enough. They failed me. I failed them. They carry the bitterness of it. But how it changed is that I can actually show them that it's the process of it is all a reflection. Everything that we kind of connect with is a reflection. When I look at my life, any kind of relationship or any kind of relationship that I've ever had, even if it really didn't even mean, they don't even think it meant much. It's always played a piece in my reality. So when I see these clients of mine or patients of mine, I can kind of stay with them. They're almost feeling that they've been wrong. Meanwhile, I see in what any connection that they've made, I go into the nooks and the crevices. I go into the cracks. So I when they're talking to me, I can actually experience what it is that they're talking to me. I could experience what my patient is saying or my client is saying, and I could experience the other person, what it is. And I could experience the love connection the essence of what's beyond here, or the, what's moving in the pure state, and yet I could experience the density of it, which is the, you know, you wronged me, I'm angry at you, how can you do this to me, whatever it may be. I really kind of, how it changed my work is that I kind of see everything I see everything here as an evolution of where we are here with emotions and all that we kind of carry with us to an to the pure state of love, unconditional love. And because I experienced it and because I know it, it's a very rare thing still in our state of humanity to have that level of pure unconditional love and to actually move with it. And it's not that but to have it and to know it and to taste it is what helps you move through helps you move beyond the personality and beyond the self.
That's good. So even though that relationship in a way didn't work ultimately, maybe, or maybe it did, but it served you to tap into, in a sense, your essence, your knowing your essence.
And, you know, and because I tapped into my essence and I tapped into my pure state of love and actually kind of acknowledged it, mm-hmm. it kind of gave me a gift. It was the most beautiful, beautiful gift I can ask for, where another person being in this kind of relationship could take away, you know, it didn't work. I mean, there was a lot of things that came on, you know, I could have held on to, that I would not be able to see the gift and the beauty and the love of it all and stayed stuck on it. But because and that's what I see in my patients. I really see where they're stuck, and there's so much more there. So I kind of pick up that, how do I say it? I bring it to a new level or a new standard.
I get what you're saying, because you had a choice. It's like, you know, that, I think, is it Ramp that says God is decision or something? It's like, so you had a choice. You could have stayed stuck in the personality and why didn't that, but then something else took over in you and you kind of came from another level and you saw, well, this is a gift that's propelling me forward into a greater understanding and a greater feeling of love from a non-personal or soul level. And so when you're working with people, you can see them at that same place and see where they're choosing to stay in the victimization or the drama, and you're coaching them in a sense to come forward and activate their pure love from this other level.
That's right.
Well, that's beautiful in a way. I mean, in a very beautiful way. It's just
it's amazing, and I've seen such such beauty, because when you stay in that stance and when you can and you're authentic in it and you're really really being with that, people have a magical and a miraculous way of actually meeting you in that space, you know. And And it's becoming, and now what I'm seeing as consciousness is evolving, a lot of my clients are moving much more quickly into that space. They don't have to work on an issue for about 10 months, you know, before they move beyond it. They can actually, you know, it can move with it much more quickly, and everything just appears to be an experience or a story. I mean, it's real in whatever it is. But really, it's when you move into that pure state of love or pure unconditional love, it's just everything just seems to take its perspective. It's almost like this is the realm in order for us to work through our karma to become unconditional love. This is the groundwork that we're doing over here, all of us as in humanity.
That's making me appreciate you even more to hear all this and to hear the ways you work and the ways you love people into their purity, their unconditionalness, and that's a really unique way. It's a really original approach that you learn through your own experience, and that's really beautiful in that way.
I mean, it's a long time coming. You know what I mean? It's a really really long time coming that all of us as a whole have been stuck into an old program of survival, whether it's, you know, whatever it may be. And it's really time for people to really meet that pure state. And I really have such confidence and such a knowing that this is where it's moving. And and the more I mean I see it in all different levels, and I see it in very, very subtle ways, and I see it in very, very obvious ways. And I mean, there's a lot going on in every which way in the world right now. And it's just kind of showing up in that way. But I really, really, really know the more that all of us actually kind of, all of us belong and actually have the vision and towards that state of unconditional love, or just that pure state, just actually looking at yourself and seeing what made you actually, it doesn't have to be like, oh, what is pure? It's just about looking at yourself and saying, what made you actually feel totally joyful today? Or what made you actually feel, put a smile on your face today? What actually made you curious today? Those are all little signs of showing you like, hey, you know, there's something that's so pure and so beautiful and so loving.
Do you find it's difficult to go the other way? So you went from the personal experience and you took this into your work and you really helping people from that pure sense. And now do you take it back into the personal, you know, into your families, your connections, your relationships, your interactions? I mean, is that the next level for you?
For me, it's every day. I'm actually I'm working with it and moving with it every day. Every moment is an opportunity for me. Every moment is an opportunity to actually meet whatever it is that I need to go beyond. You know what I mean? As far as myself and my personality or my insecurities and stuff like that. Every moment is that. And when you kind of live in that state, kind of opens you up. It opens you up. It kind of closes you up. You feel constricted. You feel open. But again, as long as you stay, as for myself, I'm always wanting to go beyond my comfort zone. That's really what it is. I mean, I could easily stay in my comfort zone, and it's very, very and in this reality, in our world, it's very easy to look confident and to look adequate and to be successful in your comfort zone, you know, financially successful, but it's not really a place of being totally fulfilled and totally feeling that love. I mean, to me, where I see humanity going, or where I see myself going, is to really live this reality here and live it on all levels, like actually experience all my levels and be conscious and aware of it, but yet being in human form. So it's actually bringing my being here into human form, you know, and that to me is heaven on earth, you know.
That's inspiring. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. It's like you are a true initiate, because that's the work. That's the great work, as it's been called, the work to take every moment and make it an opportunity to love, to transform, to awaken to a greater reality. And that's what your life's about, in a way. That's why, you know, you've transcended a certain normalcy, a certain way, because you came from that. You had owned that, you know, automatic way of fitting in. And most people don't ever even realize that they're doing an automatic, you know, and somehow you were able to wake up to that and go even beyond that. And
yeah, and it, for me, it's not. It, for me, it's been a very steady, slow and steady kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's almost like I feel very, very grounded in what I'm doing. It's like people have. Everybody has their own way of becoming, and every which way is beautiful, as long as you adhere to it. For me, it's been very slow and steady from the age of two. You know, it's really been and there's a piece of me that almost had a, if I really go there, had a fear of actually awakening to something that's outside of me. Like I wouldn't feel grounded enough. You know, in a sense, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, Alan. Uh-huh. What do you understand? And tell me.
I think there was a place where you would feel like you were not connected or something. I think that's what you're saying. Well, you can explain more.
It's like I knew there were times in my life that I can go to places that I could just take the easy way out, if you want to call it. And now okay. I'm just going. So if I can go the easy way out and do whatever it is, I knew that I have to be wherever I am in order to. That's why I'm saying about slow and steady.
Uh-huh.
Or have experiences that look that could take me to a certain place, a certain space, a certain this, a certain that. There was a knowing that it's like I needed to go from the inside out, in a sense. And when I see people, or when I see my patients, and I see my clients, I kind of know I can experience exactly, not exactly, but I could pinpoint where they are and where they've been.
Because you've been there. That's why. I mean, it seems like.
I've been there, and what's so beautiful about being being in this, serving others, is the more you serve others, the more they serve you. So it's like. But the more they serve me, the more it's just such a reciprocal.
They serve you in a way where they show you about yourself. Is that what you mean?
It's such a beautiful, because we're all one. We're all one. So we're all building this interconnectedness. We're all building this beauty. I mean, I find it now where it's much more easier for me to be, because it's where I've grown and where I've evolved and where I've developed and where I've experienced. And yet I find now that when I'm meeting people, it's almost like I'm they're me and I'm them, even though we're separate, you know. So it's I'm seeing what's happening is that there's like an impersonal connection that's occurring right now.
What about when you forget, you get angry, you get upset, you get how do you deal with that?
When I get angry, I'll still have my reactions and everything, but I always look at it as it's even happening. I'm reacting and I'm responding to it, but I always know it's like a stone unturned in me, because I'm having such a reaction or a response. There's something that's still not totally settled, you know, and I kind of can go, you know, when I'm not in the gist of it, I can actually bow down to the to whatever triggered me to experience it.
For a moment, you don't, you go with it, and then I've noticed that you've caught yourself faster and faster. It's like,
becomes much quicker. It's almost like I'm becoming less. It's where I didn't have emotions before. I needed to learn emotions. Mm-hmm. I had emotions, but I didn't know how to kind of meet the emotions. Now what's happening is that I'm actually becoming beyond my emotions. But there's a lot of distortions. People think that they're enlightened, or they think that they're, you know, awakened. But in a sense, there's actually there's a level of distortion there. You know what I mean? It's suppressed, let's just say. But I could talk about myself. I could give you a small example. This is what I remember noticing one time, where like something will fall or break, and all of a sudden the glass will shatter on the floor.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like it's just happening, and I just kind of go with it. You know, there's a dying process as you're actually evolving. There's a real dying process. You know what I mean? There's a dying process to your, you know, so that when you actually die, it's not such a you're it's not even a dying anymore. You know, you're actually dying while you're here.
So when something breaks and shatters, what happens to you in that? You're saying
when something breaks and shatters, I used to be. Oh God! Why did this happen? I have to clean it. Now it's almost like it's like in slow motion. It just happens. It's like, oh, okay. You know, it's more of not me being here. It's more of an observer.
You're not reacting. So in a way, the emotion. So I get it. So the transcendent.
So I don't really react much. But the ones when I do react, there is definitely something that's still there. I don't stay stuck in it. I really try to really be with it and not use my mind, not use old attachment, not use old associations. Because what happened? This is what I. It's when you experience something. When a lot of my clients or a lot of my patients, when they experience some anger or some shame or some guilt, they automatically bring up an old association. So it kind of reinforces exactly what it is that's been happening. That happens naturally in the mind. I mean, meditation and all that helps, but what it is when you let go of the story or any association or any attachment to what it is that you're experiencing emotionally, it kind of gives the energetic, it gives the energy, it gives it a place to breathe. So it just moves, you know what I mean? It just moves. So it doesn't get reinforced by the old attachment, the old stories, the old,
If you're present with it, if you're taking it in that moment and not attaching
So it's uncomfortable. You're noticing where it is in your body. You're noticing it in your sensations. And you kind of let it breathe. You know what I mean? I mean, what I do with my clients and my patients, I mean, I've had a lot of training and different types of spiritual work, workshops, psychoanalysis, all this and all that. I take every piece and bit, but really what it is really is when you take yourself, when you take really who you are authentically and who you are in your being, and you're meeting them and you kind of have the knowledge of what you learned and what you were trained. But more, even more importantly, you take what it is. That's if you feel, that's if you really know you really have the ability to do that. It's love. It's all about love, really. When you do that, it's everything just comes into play. I mean, I know a lot of therapists that actually very, very knowledgeable, very, very smart, intelligent, but they're actually using it as a philosophy. You know, so the beauty of my work is really really taking the old, I look at it as an old paradigm, but it's not really. I mean, I also do some work in a psychiatric hospital in addition to my private practice, but the beauty of it is that I could see the old paradigm and the new paradigm. So I can be in both places at both times. Mm-hmm. So I can actually take whoever it is and actually mold them like a piece of clay. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way or in a narcissistic kind of way, but in a way that I can actually, you know, kind of meet them in wherever they need to be, you know, and really it's the transmission of love. That's all it is.
That's very exciting. I appreciate you sharing that. So what is the future as you move forward? I know you want to work with groups. I know you want to be out there more because you are doing something unique and original, and it is spiritual.
I'd love to take this into more of a larger platform.
How would you do that? Yeah.
I mean, well, one of the things is doing larger groups, probably doing talks. I just feel with more groups because the groups, I feel it's contagious. Once this is a contagious, love is contagious, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And when it's really real and it's really when it comes from that space, there's no limits to it. Mm. And I feel like that's really my space and my place. I mean, I've had, I'm moving through my own process. So it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm still moving and still moving. So I move from my own boundaries that I've kind of used to defend myself and that are not necessary anymore. But it's, As the more I dissolve, the more I become. You know that's really and the more I become is where I see everything else becoming. Mm-hmm. And I see that in my group. I see that in groups. I see it in I don't even know where. You know, it's like my mind can't even go there. But I know it's very, very, very large.
It would be great to see this in groups. I want to be a part of that. Thank you. And you'll be a guest again on my show, I'm sure. I want to put you back.
Well, it's very beautiful to be with you. It's always very easy to be with you. You're also an instrument of love in this reality. Oh. And you open up people every day.
I've been talking to Leahy Entrop, who's a very, I would say, radical psychotherapist in the sense that you're bringing a whole new dimension to people's awareness. And as you said, it's really what people need and it's really who people are.
And it's what people want.
Mm.
Not what they want, what they crave.
It is what they crave. Thank you. This has been the new reality for me. So, and it's great to kind of explore these worlds and have you speak about it publicly. I appreciate that because I know you're just getting out there and putting it into words, but there definitely is a need.
Thank you for the opportunity, Alan.
Okay, this is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and if you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com, or go to my YouTube, youtube.com/newrealities. Thanks for listening.